It's the Bob McCowan Podcast, brought to you by Bet Rivers. Download their online casino and sportsbook app today.
Well, here we go on a new adventure, an expansion of what have we done? 900 of these, almost
close to them. Close to them.
Yep. So we've been doing five a week for a long, long time, and now we're going to add a sixth bonus show. Bonus show. Now, most of the time, it'll just be you and I chatting. But I guess you feel I'm not quite ready for that yet.
Correct.
So that's okay. We have a special guest with us. And it's appropriate, he is a broadcaster. Has been for many, many years. The voice of the Columbus Blue Jackets, Jeff Roemer, who is about to retire. And we'll chat.
Been a voice in the National Hockey League for more than 30 years, a regular voice, whether it be the Washington Capitals, the Florida Panthers, or the Columbus Blue Jackets. Yep, Jeff Roemer on this bonus version
of
the Bob McCowan Podcast.
Hi, this is Bob McCowan for BetRivers.com. Hey, if you're looking for a sports book or casino app, you should check out the BetRivers Sports and Casino app today. Play all of your favorite casino games for real money, anywhere and anytime. Plus, get in the action with each sports game with hundreds of sports betting options. And get ready to feel like a VIP, because you'll earn both loyalty level points and bonus store points on every real money wager you make. You must be 19 plus, available in Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you have questions or concerns about your gambling or someone close to you, contact Connex Ontario at 1-866-531-2600 or speak to an advisor free of charge. BetRivers.com.
Welcome back to the podcast. The National Hockey League schedule, Bob, is 182 days long, and we are now on day 161 of the Jeff Roemer Farewell Tour. And so Jeff Roemer, who's in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania tonight to call the Columbus Blue Jackets and the Pittsburgh Penguins, joins us. Jeff, welcome. And by the middle of April, your play-by-play career as we know it will have finished because you've decided to retire. Why is that?
I guess first and foremost, for family reasons. My wife had a couple of health scares this past summer, and I cannot, with a heavy conscience, be on the road or in Columbus and her to have one of her attacks. So for family reasons, and she's been my rock, she's basically raised my two kids, and it's time that I give back to her.
So if the Blue Jackets were a better hockey team, you still would quit, right?
Yes. I have to do this for my family.
I understand. Sure.
So in looking back, where what stands out for you? I mean, for a guy that started in suburban Calgary, you done okay, man.
Yeah. I'm very fortunate. I'm blessed. It's been a terrific ride. And there are so many highlights for me throughout my career. Obviously, first and foremost, growing up in Toronto, I wanted to be a National Hockey League player, and I wanted to play for the Leafs. And very quickly, my cousins were all A-plus students. And one turned out to be an outstanding attorney in the real estate market and did very, very well. Another was a dentist. Another was a college professor. And when we had family gatherings, the only report card that failed to get to the table was mine. And my dad, I just wish he was around to see the fruits of my labor and my love for hockey, because he would tell me that Frank Mahovlich was not going to help me in my career, and I needed to be like my cousins. Well, that never happened. I loved Frank. He was my favorite player. I had all kinds of posters of him on my wall there in Toronto. But couldn't be a player, but I got the next best thing here over the last 48 years to be part of the NHL.
I'm curious, you have been the play-by-play voice of three American-based teams, Washington, Florida, and now Columbus. We in Canada, as you well know, we sit here and critique everything that's right and wrong with the National Hockey League on a 24-hour basis. What are the challenges of doing play-by-play? What are the challenges of being attached to an American-based team?
I'll take the Florida market, first of all. I was there from the inaugural season, and it was a new market. The National Hockey League had determined through Gary Bettman and company that they were going to establish roots in the South, and the other spots were certainly successful, Dallas and Tampa, Los Angeles in particular. A new market was exciting for me, but at the same time, we had to educate those that didn't come from north of the border. And as we all know, there are a number of Canadians that vacation in winter in South Florida. But that was, I wouldn't say a challenge, that was a welcome part of my career, to be honest with you. Washington, the backup, they were already established by the time I got there and turned out to be a pretty good team. I only wished for my great friend who's passed on, Brian Murray, that David Poile would have got a goaltender for him, because I think in those years that Brian coached and David managed, they had all the ingredients but didn't have a goaltender to take them deep.
You obviously were in Washington and in Columbus. You experienced, you know, winter, so to speak. Not like we do in Canada, maybe, but at least there was a change in season. There wasn't really in Florida. Did that impact you at all?
Not at all. I kind of love the warm weather. It was great coming home off a road trip, Bob, and at 2:30 in the morning, jumping off the plane after a snowstorm in the Northeast, and it was still 75 degrees. Right. Warm, took off my coat, took off my sweater, and walked down the parking lot driveway to get to my car. Those were great nights.
Was it hard at all to get into the hockey mentality, though, because of the weather?
No, because once I walked into an arena, it didn't matter where, and in particular South Florida, I got the rush. There was nothing better than being in the booth, or for you and all those great years that you've had behind a microphone, stepping into the studio and working. And hey, let's acknowledge my time in Columbus, and I've thought of you often because that's your hometown. And I tell people, you realize that Bob is actually from, the Bobcat is actually from Columbus, Ohio.
True.
Well, not only that, Jeff, just so you know, I've already told Bob this, Bob and I are taking a Winnebago.
No, we're not.
Next
March. John is.
Yeah, we're taking a Winnebago next March to the outdoor game at the U.
That we are going to be there. Fabulous idea.
Bob is going to be there with bells on, with his Buckeye stuff going, and cheering for the Blue Jackets.
I'll tell you what, Bob, if you do make the trip, and I promise you this today, not so much for Shannon, but if you make the trip, I've already been invited to a suite by one of the high rollers. So if you're there, you're not going to stay out there with the elements. I'll make sure you've got a seat in the suite. Oh, promise.
Well, maybe I will come then.
Well, there you go. Now there we go. The podcast is going maybe on the road next. The podcast is going on the road, baby. So I want to. You talked about Brian Murray, and there's a lot of us that loved Brian Murray and what he did and what he stood for. Some of the other people that you touched and touched you in your time in this game.
Well, obviously, a good friend of yours, John, and mine, JD, John Davidson. I moved from Toronto after my dad passed away and moved to Calgary. My mom remarried, and I walked into homeroom in the 10th grade at Henry Wisewood High School, just off Elbow Drive. And the first guy that I bumped into in that homeroom class, and we've been great friends since, as you know, was JD. And it was John Davidson that somehow talked me, against my better judgment, to try out for AAA hockey, midget AAA, along with him. And I'm the first player in the history of AAA hockey in Calgary to be cut before practice started. I got tapped on the shoulder. Wait, it gets better. I got tapped on the shoulder and told, hey, young man, House League starts on Monday. And Monday came, and the outdoor rink, as opposed to the indoor rink for AAA practice, was actually in the neighborhood that John grew up in, Kingsland. And I was on the snowbank. And at that point, I determined that my hockey career was coming to an abrupt end. And if I wanted to be involved in the sport, I had to look at a different avenue. And of course, broadcasting was on my mind.
And others, who else?
Others? Well, Brian Murray certainly is, I believe, the smartest hockey executive and coach that I've ever been around. The two of you, your friend and mine, I use the term friendly, perhaps a little less loosely. And that's Doug McLean, who I guess Mr. McLean thrives, enjoys, and often loves to criticize yours truly.
But no, I've never noticed that.
No, I haven't noticed it either. But hey, the worst I will share with you, and we all know Doug likes to talk about himself and puts himself into every situation. Well, I guess coming on 15 years ago now, and it's a good thing I went to Columbus because I had terrific medical attention, but I had quadruple bypass surgery, open heart surgery, the likes of which I never really knew what to expect. Nonetheless, I had the open heart surgery, and one of the first people to see me when I came to and out of ICU was Doug McLean. And of course, his first comment was, Rimmer, you didn't have to have a heart attack because I got fired as coach and general manager of the Columbus Blue Jackets. Again, putting himself into every equation.
Well, I tell you what, just for the record, the moment that this podcast is published, you know the phone will be ringing and saying, why the heck did you have Rimmer on? Were you that desperate?
Well,
you know that.
Well, I know that because he is still ridiculing me for my essay and announcing my retirement and telling me that my essay was longer than the book that he just had published. And now he has informed me the day it happened that it's going to be in its second printing and it'll be printed in paperback. And it's better than the Shannon book, I can tell you.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. So they're printing five more copies of that, aren't they?
Exactly.
I guess they sold the first five. He probably gave away four of them.
No doubt.
All right. We're with Jeff Rimmer, McCowan, and Shannon on a bonus version of the Bobcast. Back after this.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're with Jeff Rimmer, and now I think we have completely discussed Doug McLean's role in your career. He's going to tell everybody that Hopefully. He saved you. Yeah. I think we're finished, though, don't you think?
I do. I hope so.
Please. Jeff, please.
Jeff, where do you put your time in Columbus? You went there. Doug brought you to Columbus. And there have been some highs. The four-game sweep of Tampa, I think, comes to mind. The time in the bubble comes to mind. But where do you put your time in Columbus and the success on and off the ice?
Well, unfortunately, their fourth straight season that they will not qualify for the postseason. And that's really, for me, a disappointment. Not so much for me, although I would have liked to have called a playoff game in my final year. But I'm disappointed for the fans of Columbus. And I say that sincerely because I've worked in major markets, as the two of you have, across Canada and the United States. And there's something special about the Midwest sports fan, and especially as it comes to this Blue Jackets hockey team. This team has had just a terrible season this year, and it's unfortunate. It started right even before training camp started with the hiring and then ultimate firing of Mike Babcock. But these fans deserve better, and they are so supportive, undenying. In fact, you look at the team down the stretch here, and they've been pretty well out of any postseason thoughts for the last month, if not longer. Yet they're getting sellouts. The fans are craving here. They're so supportive. And anywhere I go in town, people want to talk to me about the Blue Jackets and the future and the team and the individual players, et cetera. It's just a terrific hockey market. And I enjoy getting out with the public. I enjoy walking around the arena before games and talking to these fans because they are second to none. And hey, I worked in Montreal, as you guys well know, for Dick Irvin for 7 years and around the Canadiens. They won 4 Stanley Cups in those years. But I'm telling you, the fans here are unparalleled.
Yeah. It's interesting. You're in the booth and, you know, you're part of the team, but theoretically you're supposed to be neutral. Are you or are you not a Columbus Blue Jackets fan?
I am a fan, and I've been a fan wherever I've been. Am I a homer? I've been called that in several of my stops, but it's a unique relationship here with the organization. I'm a team employee. I want nothing but good things for this franchise. And as I leave, I'm hoping some of the draft picks and some of the moves this team has made are going to hopefully turn around the fortunes of the franchise. It's going to be awfully interesting here and something to keep an eye on, particularly for hockey fans around the National Hockey League, is what happens here in the future? Who becomes the general manager? John Davidson is currently the president. As I said earlier, one of my best friends, my dearest friends. Does he stay on? And I think ultimately that choice will be his. As we sit here today, who knows what the future is for JD? I know that he'd like to be part of the solution, but at the same time, he may decide at some point that he's had enough and, you know, let somebody else be given the opportunity. Do they hire a general manager? And I'm just talking to Jody Shelley, walking back, my broadcast partner from the rink here this morning. Do they hire a general manager and also give him the president's title? Or do they hire two people? These are all things that are going to be determined here in the weeks and the months to come.
Right.
You mentioned Montreal and your time around Canadians. That was an amazing team and an amazing group of athletes. Where do they measure? Where do they measure against the other great teams that you were around? Not necessarily covering on a regular basis, but you know, you saw the best teams. You saw the Pittsburgh Penguins in the early 90s. You saw the Red Wings of the late 90s. Where do you think that Canadiens team fit?
Well, obviously I'm a little biased because those players in that run of 4 straight Stanley Cups in the late 70s were all of similar age to me. We all lived on the West Island, or most of the players lived on the West Island, and they became not only players that I covered, but they became friends. And on Saturday nights after games of the Montreal Forum, we would go to the Molson Brewery, and there was a great place to eat following games and have a few pints and talk hockey till 2:30 and 3 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, from the Larry Robinson who lived around the corner to Mark Napier to Guy Lafleur, to having coffees in the morning at the gas station with Jacques Lemaire, those were special times for me. And for me, yeah, there were some great dynasties. The New York Islanders, I got to work with Dennis Potvin, who, of course, was the captain of those 4 straight Stanley Cups. Those were all great teams, and I admired them all. But it was a special situation for me being in Montreal, being around those players, covering them, and just kind of hanging around after practice and heading over to Manoir Lemoyne in the basement across from the Forum in the Alexis Neon Plaza and staying there till 4 and 5 o'clock, having lunch and, again, a few more pints. Special time.
Yeah. I'm interested in Columbus, not just because it's my hometown, but it's an interesting place. The Blue Jackets are the only professional team, major professional team, in Columbus. Now, you could say that, but the truth is Ohio State, especially football, is like a professional team too. But this city has grown considerably in the last couple of decades. Do you think there would be ever another major professional sports team there?
First of all, I'm glad you talk about the Buckeyes. And I say that, and when you say, yeah, the Blue Jackets are the only professional team, it reminds me, and this kind of upset me, and I'm kind of cleaning up how I really feel, but Urban Meyer was the head coach of the Buckeyes,
right,
still before he left. And he made a comment one time that I think he regretted because people called him on it. And he said, even though the Blue Jackets were an entity in the National Hockey League and in Columbus, Ohio, where they called home, he said, we are, you get this? We are the only professional sports team in Columbus. How about that? That's the head coach.
The truth is, it was a college town.
Right. Yep.
That's when I was a kid and I used to go back to Columbus. It was always an Ohio State town. That was it. Yes, there was a minor league baseball team there, but nobody paid that much attention to it. It has become a big college town and probably big enough to have another professional team on there. I'm just wondering if you think that's possible.
Well, if you talk to the soccer people in Columbus, they tell you they already have that team in the Columbus Crew.
I see. If you think soccer is a big sport,
Bob loves soccer so much. So
yeah. But I mean, as far as those Crew fans who won two MSL championships, they feel that they are a professional team. But yeah, I think Columbus has grown, and you're right. The last two decades happens to be the 20 years that I've been in Columbus. I've seen tremendous growth. And what happens is the kids that go to Ohio State stay in Columbus. It is growing by leaps and bounds. And when people say, and rightfully so, Columbus is one of the best kept secrets in the country, I'll tell you just as an aside, I worked in Baltimore, WBAL, 50,000 watt station, radio and television. And that's when I did the Orioles and the Capitals, of course, in Washington. And I did a football show on Fridays with Stan White. He is a former linebacker, not only for the Buckeyes, but played in the National Football League. And we used to do a Friday show, and he invariably would be heading to Columbus for a personal engagement, a charity engagement, or to play in a golf tournament, or just hang out with Woody Hayes. And he used to tell me, ironically enough, you've got to go to Columbus sometime because it is just a great town. And he lived in Baltimore after his playing career in the NFL, became an attorney and pretty damn good one at that. But all he wanted to do was talk to me about how great Columbus was. And boy, I've certainly grown to love that community and love that city and love the people there, but it is growing like crazy. We lived in the suburbs when my wife was able to handle the winter, and we were on a golf course in Dublin, Ohio, just across the street from Jack Nicklaus' Muirfield Village, and we lived in the Arnold Palmer course, actually just across the street from the fifth hole, and I would often walk across and kind of chip around the green, etc. But boy, what a great community, what a great city Columbus is, and the suburbs are second to none, and the golf courses are second to none in the country.
Sure. Yeah.
Hey, before we let you go, you mentioned Baltimore. You did cover the Orioles. You did play-by-play for the Orioles. The first time I think that some of us older people remember you and saw you on a national basis was in 1976 at the Montreal Olympics. Right. When you worked for Gordon Craig and the CBC doing Olympic, was it weightlifting? Is that right?
No. I had gymnastics, the premier event with Nadia Comaneci and her 10s.
Oh, no. Brian Williams had weightlifting. That's what it was. Yeah. It was you and Brian. That was both of you, your coming out party. I was curious about baseball, and you cover doing play-by-play in hockey versus play-by-play in baseball. How much difference is there, and what's the challenges?
I didn't do any play-by-play. I was second fiddle to John Miller, who is a tremendous play-by-play broadcaster. I did the pre and the post game. And I'll tell you a quick story. One night, I'd say midway in the season, actually just before I left Baltimore and headed to Florida, I was doing the post game show and started taking calls about 11:45. And this is prior to Cal Ripken breaking the streak, okay, of consecutive games played every inning of every game. He was struggling at the plate. He actually made a couple of errors along the way. His brother Billy was playing second base, great second baseman defensively, could not hit. And Cal Ripken Sr., the man for the Oriole way and just a tremendous person. He had been fired after the Orioles lost 17 straight games. You remember the Sports Illustrated cover, 0-17. Anyway, taking a phone call, the last one of the night, this guy calls up and he just started ripping me. He said, "River, you should change your name from Jeff Rimmer to Jeff Ripken because you're just an apologist for the Ripken family." I guess my fandom was coming through, Bob. But anyway, he went on just ripped me up one side and down the other. The next day, I'm in the clubhouse doing my pregame interviews, and the clubhouse boy says, Jeff, Cal wants to see you at his locker. So I walk over to Cal, and I had a really good relationship with him because he was a hockey fan. And I often, after the morning sports run, would get a phone call from Cal and Billy, and they'd tell me to come over and play floor hockey in the visiting clubhouse at Memorial Stadium. But on this particular day, he wanted me to come over, and he had a big smile. He said, yeah, I was driving home, almost home, and almost drove off the road just laughing at that guy just ripping you. And he turned around, and he grabbed a baseball bat, and he signed it to Jeff Ripken Rimmer, my long-lost brother.
That's cool. Well, I'll tell you what, man. You and I have known each other a long time.
We have.
And I can tell you right now, the response that you have had around the National Hockey League and all the arenas tells you what everybody in our game feels about you. And you, sir, will be missed.
Well, I'm going to miss it more than I'm going to be missed. I love what I've done here over the years. And it's going to be kind of an emotional ending, to say the least.
We wish you good luck.
Thanks, Bob. And I wish you total health and recovery. And remember,
well, thank you very much. Yeah, I appreciate it.
If you want to go to the outdoor game, you let me know, because I'll make sure you have a seat in the suite. And as far as Shannon is concerned, he is going to find himself in the very last row at the top of the big shoe.
Well,
I booked the Winnebago already. It's booked already. We're going to have a little bit of food. We're going to get there. It'll be a 5.5-hour drive, and we're going to enjoy it in the private box with our pal Jeff Rimmer. It's going to be fantastic.
That much I look forward to.
I'm sure. Yeah, with your friend Rimmer rather than your friend Shannon, I'm sure.
Exactly.
Jeff, thanks very much. Congratulations, and we're going to miss you, man.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Hope to see you soon. Bye-bye.
Yeah, take care.
Jeff Rimmer on the Bonus Bobcast. Back after this. So, Bob, just one quick thought. There's an award in the Hockey Hall of Fame called the Foster Hewitt Award, and it's going to be fascinating. We had Dennis Bayak on earlier this year, and Dennis has retired, and now Rimmer's retired, and both of them are probably worthy of the recognition to be the Foster Hewitt Award winner for the National Hockey League and the Hockey Hall of Fame.
I would think so. I'm certainly not an expert on it, but I would certainly think Rimmer would qualify.
Oh, yeah. And I'll tell you what, he downplays it, but when you work in non-traditional markets, and all three, Washington initially, Florida initially, and Columbus, our non-traditional hockey markets, Jeff Rimmer has carried a lot of water for the team and the game and the National Hockey League in all those years. He really has. Anyway, thanks for enjoying, hopefully you enjoyed, our bonus version of the Bob McCowan Podcast.
It's the Bob McCowan Podcast, brought to you by Bet Rivers. Download their online casino and sportsbook app today.